I was going to, God's been laid upon my heart and just give me word after word about joy, that we have to make sure the enemy does not steal our joy. And I was going to do a teaching on joy, but instead a couple other things came my way, and I'm not going to give you a teaching on joy. How you keep your joy is through worship. And worship is just sitting and singing to the Father. That's what worship's all about, just sitting. You know, you pray, you talk to him, you do everything else, but just sit and sing to your Father. And I don't know about you, but when I do that, I go into another realm. God even starts speaking to me. So this is how we maintain our joy, is by sitting and singing to the Father. You know, you love him, right? You know, what are these love songs that you sing in the world? It's all about somebody loving somebody, and to make up a song and to sing it to them, right? So if you really love the Father all that much, why don't you make up a love song to him and sing it to him? Tell him about, he already knows of all his goodness and grace and all that. But, you know, we just have to start just loving on the Father. Just start singing praises to him. And watch and see how your joy is going to come back to you. I bind the spirit of confusion right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Satan, you are not invited into this church, and you can leave right now in the name of Jesus. I'm not telling the person to leave. I'm telling the devil that came with him to leave. You leave right now in the name of Jesus, and don't come back through that door again. We are not going to tolerate this. We are not going to tolerate you disturbing this service. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over you right now. You are never to come back into this church again, ever. And Father, we just thank you. We praise you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, Sister Nancy Willis, Brother Alan was telling me tonight that, you know, the gentleman I was talking to you about had the book out, and he said what was going on. And he said the reason why that the author of the book said the reason why we can be attacked is because we don't fast with our praying. And that's a dirty word for Nancy. So I was sitting there thinking during praise and worship, now you have to fast to be really effective. When Sister Nancy first started coming here, I was always calling 40-day fast, and she called me one time and says, can I grind my food up in a blender and drink it? I said, no, you can't do that. She had all kind of ways she could fast, still eating her food. That's why I said that to her tonight. But no, you can't do that, all right? I came across, I'm not going to, my wonderful sermon I had made up about joy and how you keep your joy. Get it once you lose it, get it back and everything, but it's all about singing songs to the Father. That's just what it's all about, period. So anyhow, I came across these other two articles that I really want to bring out. And, you know, if you noticed, a lot of my words are God wants to stay in perfect peace, you know, our daily word. And he keeps telling me personally that the people are still not getting in his peace and staying there. And so this here, this came across by Lana Vaser from Australia. She's a wonderful woman of the Bible. And she says, a vision of the giants in the land. I want you to listen to what she says here. In a vision, I saw many of the people of God met with suddenlies. Aren't we all there? But these suddenlies were giants. As I looked at these giants, I saw the word intimidation written across their chest. These giants had suddenly risen before many of the people of God, and they were bringing intimidation. I knew suddenly that these giants represented circumstances from waiting for the breakthrough to pressing issues, to unexpected curveballs, to demonic attacks, to accusations, and to hopelessness. The common denominator of these giants, whether the circumstances before the people of God were hard, discouraging, trying, or the breakthrough has begun and the change seems overwhelming. Let's read that again. The common denominator of these giants were whether the circumstances before the people of God were hard, discouraging, and trying, or the breakthrough has begun and the change seems overwhelming. The purpose of these giants arising was to bring intimidation and to stop the people of God from moving forward. And how many of you are being honest, feel that way? You know, the change has started in your life and it does intimidate you. You know, you haven't been there before and you really don't know what's going to happen or anything. And so you get intimidated by these things. The intimidation was screaming lies at the people of God about who God is and who they are. I don't know about you, but that's been happening to me. It's not about who God is, but who am I anymore, you know? Their main assignment was to bring the people of God to a place where they would retreat. I haven't gotten there, and I'm not going there, but you know, this is what this is all about. When suddenly I saw the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he roared. As he roared, I saw the words fly out of his mouth, "Peace brings defeat. Peace brings defeat." Standing in his peace. In fact, I think the word he gave me this morning for today was about peace. Standing in his peace. I then saw whirlwinds of glorious love being released from the heart of the Father, and swirling in the midst of these whirlwinds was the scripture, Song of Solomon 2:13. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. And how many times has God been telling us to get higher with him? To go away with him and forget about the cares of this world. As the people of God positioned themselves under these whirlwinds of love, see what he says here? As the people of God positioned themselves under these whirlwinds of love, they were taken up to a higher place. I was taken into the whirlwind and I could see the atmosphere like liquid honey, such richness. And you remember there for a season, God, every time I prayed for one of you prophetic word, I could see you in a whirlwind. I was taken into the whirlwind and I could see the atmosphere like liquid honey, such richness. His words as he spoke to them were dripping like honey, and healing was taking place in areas of the heart and soul that the people of God didn't even know were there. Isn't that exciting? Because this has been my prayer. God, I don't want all these deliverance sessions. I want you to just come into the house of God, into the people's homes, wherever that. And I just want you to free them up of anything that's not of you. We shouldn't have to go through hours upon hours upon hours to come out, come out, and come out. Amen. If God is there and his glory is there, then the miracles are there and that can happen. We just need to quit. We need to start believing for bigger and better things. Not be content where we're at. Where am I at? This higher place? This higher place was higher and deeper all at once. God said he's going to give us a suddenly. He's going to take us up into the supernatural realm. Right? It was a place of deeper intimacy and higher clarity. God said he's going to give us wisdom. Because we're going to need the wisdom, but it's deeper intimacy. And how long has God been trying to get us to become more intimate with him? In their positioning before him, in the secret place, in the place of deeper intimacy, I saw them stepping into Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. She said, in their positioning before him in the secret place, in the place of deeper intimacy, she saw them stepping into Philippians 4, 6, and 7. God has been trying to get us to step into that place. Let's do it tonight. Let's step into that peace that God wants us to get into. I'm going to tell you, if you just lay all your circumstances aside, you know what, give them to God. And then you go ahead and go on and you serve God. If you have loved ones that are out there doing what they shouldn't be doing, God will tell you when to pray for them. And every time you pray for them, you're going to find out later on that day that they were getting ready to get in trouble or were in trouble. And God intervened and got them out of it. See, if we would just lay aside our our concerns, our worries, our anxious, or whatever you want to say about these things, God will take care of them. How does he do that? By having you pray. He'll put a burden on you to pray. Then as you pray, the angels are released to go and take care of the situations. But we have to hang on to these circumstances and hang on to them, thinking we're going to change them. We are not going to change them. If we were, you would have changed them a long time ago. Where am I at? The hearts of God's people. The hearts of God's people were being intertwined, I thought this was neat, with his heart. Don't you want your heart to be intertwined with God's heart? You'll know every emotion he goes through. You'll know everything about him. In the area that the giant was screaming, let's start that again. The hearts of God's people were being intertwined with his heart in the area that the giant was screaming in, as they spoke with the Lord about all things concerning them. You know, they were talking to God about, we're talking to God about the things that are concerning us. Then our hearts become intertwined with God's heart. In the heart of the whirlwind was such a sacred, deep place of intimacy. A connection with the heart of the Father was being established in a deep way. I don't know about you, but I know that I'm not as deep in God as I want to be. How about you? I know that I'm not intermixed with his heart. I know his heart, but there's something lacking. There's something missing. And I know it's a deeper, more profound intimacy than I've yet reached. And I don't believe we'll ever reach the height of intimacy with God that he wants us to reach until the day we go home. But while we're here, we're supposed to be constantly seeking that deeper intimacy with him. As they communed, the supernatural peace that is already theirs in Christ was becoming a tangible manifestation in their hearts and lives. See, as they was communing with God, they were finally realizing, hey, I can get into this place of supernatural peace. Where in this natural, their circumstances would usually lead them into tailspins of fear and intimidation, they were standing in confidence and peace in him. How many of you have gotten to that place in certain areas of your life? You've gotten in that place where things that used to throw you for a loop no longer throw you for a loop. You just stand in perfect peace, knowing that God is in full control. They had not only stepped back into peace, but deeper into peace than ever before, because they had stepped deeper into his heart. Are you seeing this, guys? We've got to step back into that peace in God where he's been calling us to go. And it's happening. God showed her this faith. It's happening. We just have to be one of those who grab hold of that and do that. A new day of destiny. As the people of God were being lowered out of these whirlwinds, not only were they coming out stronger, but they knew his peace like they had never known before. They stepped out and faced their giants, and as they opened their mouths, they all spoke the same thing. I know who my God is. His name is faithful, and the one who is with me and goes before me. You're going to have to know who your God is. You're going to have to know that he does go before you, and he does prepare the way before you. You're going to have to know that he's in every circumstance that you're in. You're just going to have to know that he's there. And that you're not in anything alone. God is always with you. Suddenly there was an eruption of applause and encouragement. I looked up. I thought this was so neat. Suddenly there was an eruption of applause and encouragement. I looked up and saw the cloud of witnesses that were cheering on the people of God. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Suddenly these giants fell backwards onto their backs, and the people of God stepped onto the bodies of these giants and walked over them to get to the other side. Saying to God, there is all your loved ones that have gone before you. They are up in heaven cheering you on. God opened up the heavens one time and let me see it. It looked like a football arena. And they had little flags they were waving. Come on, you can make it. They called me Jimmy. Come on, Jimmy, you can make it. My daddy said, don't you sit down. You keep on going. You keep on going. God allowed me to see all my loved ones that had gone before me up there cheering me on. And that's what kept me going. And that's still what keeps me going today. Because I know I don't want to go to heaven and have them say, why did you stop? You know. Your loved ones are up there cheering you on. Even just like Jesse Duplantis says, people you think didn't even make it to heaven are up there cheering you on. They made heaven and you didn't know they did. So what are you waiting on? What's hindering you? Go ahead and run the race. Let the people that's going before you, let them keep cheering you on. Have confidence and faith in God. Get so close to God that nothing can separate you from God. And let's just run this race together. Amen. We can all be down here applauding each other. You know, if you can't believe for your loved ones up in heaven applauding you, we can applaud each other. Come on, you can make this thing. There was a roar of applause from the heavens, and then I saw the angels joining in with the great cloud of witnesses, and they declared the first part of Song of Solomon 2:11 over the people of God. This is the angels and still the cloud of witnesses. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth, and the budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrance of flowers whispers there is change in the air. Can you believe God for that tonight? Because that is the truth. That is really, I don't care what else is going on. This is what's happening to the true children of God. God is really, there is a new day for us. There is a new dawning, and God is doing a brand new thing with us. In us and for us and around us. We don't have to look at the circumstance. We don't have to look at what's going on in the world. Because God told me about a year ago, he said, daughter, do not talk about the things that are going on in the world because they're just going to go on. You encourage my people to keep going. So this is what this is all about. I'm encouraging you tonight to keep going. Don't look at the don't look at the people's faces. It doesn't matter about people anymore, does it? Yeah, because I don't care what you do, they're going to be people. They're going to believe what they want to believe. They're going to do what they want to do. Just go on. It's God that you have to please, not people. And it's only God that knows the whole truth. People only think they know some of the truth. But you serve your Father with the fullness of your heart. You let your people go along the wayside. What I mean is, don't be caught up in their ifs and ands and whats and buts. You let them do their thing the way they want to do it, and you go ahead and serve God. You know, God's word says he will vindicate you. And there have been many times, I want you to vindicate me, Lord, but you know, I got to the point where I said, I don't care if I ever get vindicated. I know that I'm working for you, God. I know I'm doing what is right, and I don't care if people believe me or not. I just don't. So, can you get there tonight? Can you get to the place where you don't want to be vindicated, that you don't care what people think about you anymore? You just know that the Father's pleased with you and you're doing what he wants you to do and just go on. Come on. This is where God wants us to go. You know, the devil will always make you look bad. He will. And if you start confronting people, the devil in them will really attack you. So God says, let it alone. I'll vindicate you. The truth is going to be brought to the light. Why can't we believe him? You're still wanting, God, let them see who I really am. Then you're not believing God that he's going to bring it to the light. Come on. From that, Brett, the very giants. The very giants of intimidation that had risen out of nowhere were blocking something very key, a new day of destiny. These giants that have come before, these circumstances that have suddenly come up to smack you in the face, are blocking your day of destiny. On the other side of the giants you are facing is your new day of destiny. Press in, go deeper, go lower, let your request be made known to God, and trust him. For the tangible peace of God that surpasses all understanding is about to make more sense to you than it ever has. See Philippians 4:7. I know the peace of God, and I'm going to stay in the peace of God. I'm not going to get out of the peace of God. I'm not. I don't care what people say or do. If they want to go to hell, let them go to hell. That's my attitude right now. Because I've lived a life before them. Have you not? You've spoken the truth to them. Have you not? Then why are you still concerned about them? You did your part. Now the rest is up to them and the Holy Spirit. You go on and do the things that God is calling you forth to do. You know, the Bible says, let the dead bury the dead, does it not? So if people don't want to come up into your realm, you know, and there's nothing wrong with somebody not coming into your realm. Do you know that? Some are, what, 30, 60, and 100-fold people? So if they only want to be 30-fold people, that's okay. They're still going to go to heaven. You know, if they want to be 60, that's fine. If they want to be 100, that's wonderful. But don't try to take them where you're at. You just tell them that you live the life before them. You tell them the word of God. You tell them the truth. And then just let God have control. And you go on with your life. All right, about to make sense. Therefore, see Philippians 4:7. That peace of knowing who he is and who you are in him is about to see those giants slayed and you move into a new day of destiny. I've moved in there, guys. I'm going to tell you it's a wonderful place to be. Because I know that my Father is in control and he's doing a great work. We might not be able to see that great work, but we know it's being done. We've already been down in that junk, right? We've been down in that valley of despair and cow dung or whatever else was down in there. So why go back there again? God brought us forth out of that, did he not? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going backward. I'm not going backward. I want the greater things that God has before me. What I had was good, but then what I had wasn't any good at all. I mean, I wish I didn't even know those few years. But what God has for us now is so wonderful and so marvelous, saints of God. Why would you quit now? Why would you want to go back? Ask yourself that. Why would I want to go back into something that's done? It's over with. I can't go back and change it. Anyhow, if they were good years, you lived those good years. And God said there's even better years ahead of you. And if he said, which he did, we all went through the Job experience, right? And Job had more in the end than he had in the beginning. Job went through all the junk we've all gone through. He lived. He survived it all. And then God gave him more than he ever had. That's what we have to look forward to. We can look forward to the fact that we're going to have more in the end than we had in the beginning. And we're going to be happier. And you won't have a complaining wife telling you to leave God, curse God and die. You know, you're not going to have that. Amen. As the people of God stepped into a new realm of change, get that word change. I saw whirlwinds over the people of God that were acting as a vacuum from heaven to earth. And as the people of God continued to move forward in faith and confident assurance full of peace, this is all what you have to do, about who he is and refusing to move from the truth of his word, heaven was brought to earth in unexpected but glorious ways. We have to do the last verse. As the people of God stepped into a new realm of change. God has been trying to change us. I saw whirlwinds over the people of God that were acting as a vacuum from heaven to earth. And as the people of God continued, we can't stop, to move forward in faith. We have to have that faith and confident assurance for peace. You have to have the peace about who he is and refusing to move from the truth of his word, heaven was brought to earth in unexpected but glorious ways. Do you think that's why we aren't getting what the glory isn't falling? Do you think we aren't following the last paragraph? I don't know. Only you know. Amen. Let's go to the angel and the spoiled brat. Kathy Walters. We need to get into this perfect peace, guys, or we're not going to make it. God is not going to use you if you can't get into perfect peace. He's not going to use you. I'm just being blunt about it. You have to get into that place of perfect peace, because if you're not, the adversary can come and knock you off course at any given time. Any given time. So you have to stay in that perfect peace. The Angel and the Spoiled Brat by Kathy Walters. David, my husband, he must have been some sort of a guy. he's just so quiet and mellowed out, you know, and she always talks about fussing with him, and he won't fuss back, and, you know. David, my husband, and I, plus many of our friends, had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We had been hungry for God for a long time, and eventually God got through to us in the late 1970s. Having come from a background of strong, legalistic, Puritan-type teaching, we were reveling in our newfound liberty in the Spirit. Now, there's something you have to learn through this, so listen to it. Don't fall asleep on me, all right? I was excited to learn that God had not taken away his power from the church. The gifts of the Spirit, miracles, and healing were still available. Only problem was that I was used to receiving things in my head. I didn't know how to receive these wonderful truths in my spirit and actually make them work in my life. It was mostly still head knowledge, and in this church tonight, there's still people with head knowledge and not heart knowledge. Healing, but that's not really what I want to get in, all right? Healing is in the Word. I was convinced by the Scriptures that God was ready and willing to heal me. I read in Matthew chapter 8 that Jesus healed all their diseases, and in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. I asked the Lord to teach me how to receive healing. I had lost a hearing in one ear a year previously. I tried everything people told me. I prayed and confessed my healing. I read books on faith and healing, but I still wasn't healed. I asked others to pray for me. So I want you to really listen to what she's saying here, all right? Griping and complaining. I was also convinced a little about learning to have a spirit of praise and thanksgiving. She just said a little, okay? One of the elders in our house church prayed for me one evening at a meeting. Lord, he said, work in Kathy so that she is able to praise you, even if you have put her in a mud hut in Africa. I don't want that man to pray for me. Everyone, including me, fell about laughing at the thought of me being remotely near a mud hut. I was a spoiled brat, used to having everything I wanted, and definitely roughing it was not on my agenda in any way, shape, or form. One thing led to another, and about 6 months later, our church sent Dave and I to Kenya to teach at some meetings, not in Nairobi, but way out in the bush area. Mud hut. So here I was. Everything I dreaded was happening. Somehow in my mind, I was trying to convince myself that in this village area, we would suddenly come upon a Holiday Inn. The place we were brought to was a little hut with baked cow dung floors. God knows how to humble you, doesn't he? We were committed for 6 weeks, so I had to wear the same dress which I washed in a bowl every day. I had brought several new pairs of pants, but the missionaries said they were unacceptable for where we were. I remembered that I'm supposed to praise the Lord all the time. I tried. Some of us do that in here too. We try, right? Isn't that right, Terry? Yes. I walked around gritting my teeth, saying, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We all do this. Now listen to what she's saying. Inside, I was fighting like a crazed gorilla. The people took us to other places to preach, and each place was worse than the one before. I was determined that I was going to praise, so I did, through clenched fist and clenched teeth. Eventually, we ministered at a place away from the town, and people came from other villages. There was a long shed-like building, and the people who came to their conference slept in rows inside. They put David and me in a little cupboard-like room for sleeping. We had a cot and a hammock. I was not a happy camper. I was also getting mad at God for not healing my ear. I had asked him to show me how to receive this healing, but so far nothing, except that he told me to put away all the books I was reading about it. I had enough. In the middle of the night, the hammock broke. And that was the end of a night's sleep. And that just about finished me off as far as Kenya was concerned. In the middle of the night, the hammock broke. I read that, didn't I? I gave up all attempts at my praising exercises and started yelling at David. Poor David. said, tickle me. She said, I gave up all attempts at my praising exercises. Nothing was coming from her heart. It was all head. So I started yelling at David, I've had enough of this. David, you can stay here as long as you want, but tomorrow you are going to find a way to get me to Nairobi, and I will wait for you at the Holiday Inn. David didn't say a word. And as I was speaking, I felt all the... Now listen to what she says there. And as I was speaking, I felt all the muscles in my thigh draw up as if a hand were pulling the muscles together. It hurt. So I started complaining big time about that. The more I complained, the more my thigh hurt. Somehow I made it until the morning and had no choice but to attend the meeting where David was preaching. But my thigh still hurt and I could only limp along, feeling sorry for myself and looking really pathetic. I had given up all attempts of being a victorious Christian. She wasn't even pretending no more. I sat through the meeting waiting to escape and hoping God would produce a miraculous way for me to get to that Holiday Inn in Nairobi. God moved in the meeting and I tried to get him to give me some attention, but he didn't. Afterwards, I left and hobbled outside alone into a field. My thigh felt like someone was pulling all the muscles together in a knot. By now, I really gave up any more thoughts of trying to praise the Lord. I felt he was being very unfair to me. I tried and tried, kind of, to do this praising thing. I couldn't see, of course, that I wasn't praising God in my heart, which was where it really mattered. The angel. Look, God, I turned my face upward. This is enough. I'm tired of this place and I want to go home. And another thing, what's this thing with my leg? Is this some kind of African demon or something? The Lord responded right away, no, it's not a demon. That's an angel, and he's going to stay there, and you are going to praise me. Maybe some of your sickness is God trying to get your attention to praise him. I freaked out, and the presence of the Lord came around me like a cloak. Okay, I'll praise you, I said hurriedly. I started to sing and praise the Lord. The hand had lifted off me, and the pain left my thigh. Then I felt as if I was floating in the air. I was so light. After a little while, I said, okay, God, now can I go back? The hand was back. The muscles pulled up again. Now, this is what she did. Oh, Lord, you are wonderful. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Or you are good and kind. And the hand lifted. Don't we manipulate God like that? This little scenario was repeated over and over. The angel would not allow complaining words to come out of my mouth. I thought this was a bit drastic, she says. So maybe we're not getting healed because we have complaining words coming out of our mouth. Healing. A few days later, we returned to the original place we ministered. Nothing had happened regarding my ear, and I did not dare to complain about it. I was sitting outside when suddenly some cramp-like pains hit my stomach. I had not complained anymore about the food, which was boiled green bananas, nor the sleeping arrangements or the cow dung floors. But I did complain about this. I went inside and laid down in the cot. God, I can't put up with this. The hand came back. Oh, Lord, praise you. You are wonderful. If you want, I'll just lie here and praise you. I began to sing to the Lord. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit fell on my head and moved down my whole body like a kind of light. I was lifted from the cot to my feet by the power of God. I was amazed. I didn't know what happened, but I realized that I could hear out of my deaf ear. All my stomach cramps were gone. And then on further inspection, I noticed that a couple of little corns on my toes were also gone. A couple of little permanent red spots on my face and arm were also totally gone. In fact, everything that was in the least bit wrong was gone. Boy, I really did praise the Lord then. Isn't that how we are too? We really praise the Lord whenever he gives us everything that we want. But what he was trying to do to Kathy was to get her quit complaining so he could bless her. getting rid of the blockage. The Holy Spirit told me that God heard me when I originally asked for that healing, that there was a big blockage in my life. It prevented me from receiving from the Spirit of God. Are you listening? Where was that here? I'm going to read that again. The Holy Spirit told me that God heard me when I originally asked for that healing, but there was a big blockage in my life. It prevented me from receiving from the Spirit of God. It was my spoiled brat complaining spirit. How many of us have a spoiled brat complaining spirit? The Holy Spirit is not negative. He has a spirit of faith, and my complaining and grumbling put me in a place where he wasn't able to operate. We're never going to complain about this building ever again, are we? Thank you, Jesus, that the walls are falling down. The walls of Jericho are coming down. See, this is what this is all about. Thank you, God, that I have a car that at least runs. Thank you, God, I have a roof over my head, if it leaks or not. See what God's trying to get us to do. But I had believed God to show me how to receive the healing, and he is faithful. He did show me. He spotlighted this barrier and dealt with it via the angel. I learned to yield to the Spirit and be thankful and believe in the goodness of my Heavenly Father. Are you guys listening here tonight? We need to quit complaining. All right, so God didn't heal you the second you prayed. You shouldn't be complaining about it. How many of you can say in your heart of hearts that there's so many things about your walk with God you really don't understand anymore? You used to understand everything, but all of a sudden you just don't know what God's doing. You don't know where he's taking you to. You just think he's lost his mind, you know. You just don't understand. And tonight I said, God, I have so many. In fact, I said to Larry, I have so many questions before God. I wish you'd either take me to heaven and tell me or bring an angel down here and tell me, give me the answer to my questions. Because there's so many things that really, the questions I have is to help the body of Christ. Because there's so many things, people are out there saying so many dumb things. I know they're not of God, and people are believing. So somebody has to be told the truth. And God said he's going to bring people on the scene that he's going to reveal the truth to, and they're going to share that truth of the body of Christ. Each one of you in here tonight, you should be saying, God, there's just things going on that we don't understand, and we need some understanding of what's going on. I need to know, Father God, not even for my benefit, but so I can. So I'm leading people. I need to know so I can tell them what's going on. And I read things and I say, God, I don't understand what I just read. Not this stuff, but I read something and say, God, I don't understand what I just read. They're saying you said this, this, and this. I don't understand this. Amen. So, you know, we need to be honest with God, and we need to tell God how we feel. And tell him, God, I don't understand what you're doing in my life. I don't understand why you haven't done what you said you're going to do. You know, we're not complaining. We just need some sort of knowledge from God, understanding of what he wants, what our part is in this whole scenario. If he's not telling you to be still, then he wants you to do something. And he's not telling me to be still no more. He just said, be still. And he's not saying that no more. So, okay, God, so what do you want me to do then if I'm not supposed to be still? So he said, okay, you're going to be teaching differently. Okay, God, so what's this teaching differently going to be like? What is it? What do you want me to study? What do you want me to do? I don't think it's wrong to say those things to God. Do you? We have to have understanding of what we're doing. Our children say, well, why do you want me to do that? It's because I'm your parent. No, that's not a good answer. We need to understand what God's doing in this day and age, because it's a mess out there. And you know, and the devil's bringing all kind of confusion into the body of Christ, into the world, period. But I'm talking about the body of Christ. The body of Christ has to have revelation knowledge. Okay, she says, I learned to yield to the Spirit, be thankful, and believe in the goodness of my Heavenly Father. Did we read that already, Brent? Okay. Not only has Jesus made available His power, He is faithful to reveal to us how to walk in it and receive the things He has provided. Now, I know that I know that I know that the glory is going to drop. And when He first said it was going to drop, I heard the fall, and that's been I don't know how many years ago. So every fall, I'm waiting for the glory to drop, you know. All right, God, is it this fall? I don't know, and He's not saying. He said, it's coming, just don't grow weary and tell Him it's coming. But don't you get, I mean, you do grow weary sometimes in telling people things, because you think, am I a lunatic? You know, am I really hearing God? It's been forever. But was it 400 years they waited for Jesus to be born? You know? He kept saying, God kept saying, the Messiah's coming. And people kept waiting for this Messiah, and they died, you know, went someplace. And then 400 years later, He was born. It's going to happen. I know the glory's going to drop. But there's still other things that need to be explained. There's still other things. I don't know how you feel about it, but that's how I feel about it. There's just some things that God has, He must shine His light upon it so we can have more understanding, so we can go out and minister to people. We don't want to go out there looking like some dope, crazed people. We're supposed to be going out there full of the knowledge of Christ, explaining to them what is going on. Well, it just prophesied, just going to happen. That ain't going to cut it. All these people prophesying the world was going to end and everything. You know, we knew that wasn't going to happen. But still in all, you know, there's people out there who did believe it, did dumb things. And if we had more of a knowledge of what God was doing, maybe we could have stopped some of that by saying what God had to say. All right, Kathy went on to say, the angel stayed around for a few months until that complaining habit had left me. So she didn't lose her complaining habit overnight, if you saw what she said there. Neither did you. Neither did I. All right, so let's not shake her head at Kathy, all right? And I'm quite sure some of us still have the complaining spirit, right? It was funny to watch people's faces as I would begin to speak. Example, oh, no, it's raining. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you for the rain. You know? Oh, no, I have a flat tire. Thank you for the flat tire, Lord, you know. My wife fell in a ditch with a car and made my tire go flat. And she sent me out the next day and my tire went flat. Thank you, Lord, that she fell in the ditch with the car. You know. He really didn't complain. Ministering angels. The angel stayed, but now he helps me pray and minister. Don't you wish you'd see an angel? She's always talking about these angels to come there and talk to her and bring her stuff and do this, that, and the other, you know. And aren't you tired of not seeing this angel? God's been ministering for years now that the angels are going to come into our rooms and talk to us and tell us things of heaven, secrets from heaven. And aren't you tired of not having that happen in your life? God, I don't want it to happen when I die and go to heaven. I want it to happen right now so I can have a testimony. An angel comes and visits me. I'm tired of telling about how angels go visit everybody else, aren't you? I read in this book that this angel come and visit this pastor every night. I'm tired of saying that kind of stuff. I told God last night, I'm even tired of saying what you used to do for me. I want up-to-date stuff that you're doing to me and for me and around me. This used to be stuff is old. Why are you so contented just sitting? Are you crying out to God, God, I need more? I need the angels to come into my room and talk to me. Don't put them in the car because that might distract me too much. Bring them in my bedroom, all right? Into the kitchen. You know, I don't bring them into church service so we can all see them. I don't care, Lord, but let's see the angels you're talking about, everybody else is talking about. Come on. You know, we're not going to get anything from God unless we really are expecting it. He's not going to just willy-nilly just throw something your way. And somebody was talking about that God gave him a vision, and these angels are really there. They're chomping at the bit to come and bring the glory and do all the wonderful works. And she could see the stairway, she or he, whoever it was, could see the stairs in the distance. And the angels stand atop the stairs. And I said, see, God, we used to see the angels coming and going in those stairs. Now we don't see no stairs anymore. Now they're talking about in the distance they are. We want them right now. Right now. We might as well just throw our hands up in the air and walk away if we're not going to get something. Why do you think the world doesn't want to come into church? Because Satan gives him everything instantly. But God uses that little word faith with you and I. Walk by faith, not by sight. Increase your faith because you're going to need it. Work on your faith because you're really going to need faith in the end times. It's all about faith. I've worked on my faith. I've done everything I know to do. Now I want to see it. They're saying if you decree it, declare it, it's going to happen. Well, I've decreed, declared, I'm blue in the face and it hasn't happened. Amen? Come on. I know God raises people from the dead. I know God heals people. I know all this stuff, but where is it at now? That God that did that back then is not dead. He's still very much alive. And his power and anointing is still there. What are you waiting on, God? In that one vision that girl saw, the angel said, God has to do one more thing. And I said, what is that one thing, Lord? Let's get it done. Amen. Do you know how many people are leaving the church because everybody was saying, the glory's coming, the glory's coming, the glory's coming. It hadn't come, so they're tired of waiting. They left. So what's going to happen when the glory does drop? Guess who's going to get it? Not the ones that left the church. It's the world. God's bringing the world in, and they're going to get the glory. And God has told us for years, if you don't get in the river right now, you won't be able to get into it later. So if you decide, well, I didn't believe what they were saying about the glory, and you walked off, you know what? You're out. Somebody else is going to take your mantle. You're out. The angel stayed, but now he helps him pray and minister. The Bible says that in Hebrews 1:14 that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. We know all that. It's not in our head, is it? We've heard so much it's in our heart, in our spirit, is it not? The knowledge that the glory has fallen is no longer in our head. I don't think it ever was. It's in her heart. How many years ago did God have me put that sign up about refuge in the storm? 8 years ago. He said, put a sign up that says that. And I said to Chris, put a sign up that says that. And I didn't know what it meant. But now, in the last couple of years, everybody talking about God setting up houses of refuge in the storm. Okay, God, so we've been prepared for 8 years as this house of refuge. Now, we're ready and we're willing and we're able, are we not? Bring them in. But we're not preaching or talking about something that God has not ordained first. Now, if he hadn't said it, I wouldn't even talk about it because that'd be stupid. But he's spoken it. And he said, suddenly, I'm going to fill this church up again. And then suddenly, overnight, I'm going to take you out of this church in a new building. And suddenly, my healing and all my miracles is going to be working in the church. Suddenly. When is it suddenly going to happen? And then he's saying, this year, everything he's promised us is going to come to pass this year. Well, we have one more month and this year is out. We're working in the Hebrew year. It just started. So, okay, so then we start in the Hebrew year. When did we start in the Hebrew year? November, September? September? Then I might have to wait till next September. Get out of here. Are you understanding this, guys? I wish they had not told me that. I really thought it by December it was going to happen. You have to flag in the back of the room for one whole week. You're on. No, that's sort of nice to know. I hadn't even thought about it that way, because then if December passes, I wouldn't say, oh, God, we missed you all together. Say, all right. But there's something in me that says, I want it now. Because revival has broken out in a lot of places, in other states. I want it now, Father. We've done everything we know to do. And whatever this one more thing is, if we have to do it, then tell us so we can do it. Amen? Come on. And I don't want you to grow weary in well-doing either. Because God keeps saying, don't grow weary in well-doing. One day I said, God, I'm about as weary as I can possibly get. You know? So do you have the spoiled brat syndrome? Give it to God. Get rid of it. Ethan, don't sit back there and look like that, because you are going to have the glory of God shining all over you. And the glory of God is going to draw many into the house of God. He's sitting back there sort of like, well, I don't know if this is right or not. And so God just told me to tell you that. Say, look at that smile. Say, you know it's true. So you just tell the devil to go take a vacation until 2000, whatever, 3000, whatever. Yeah, in other words, don't ever come back. All right? I want each one of you in here tonight to understand one thing. You are here. God ordained you to be here because he wants you to know that he does not want you to give up on his promises, because they are yes and amen, and they are surely going to come to pass. And you are really, truly, surely going to stand in the glory of the Lord. And you're going to see all the miracles of God come to pass. All the signs and the wonders are going to come to pass in your lifetime through you. The Christ in you. Don't allow man or woman to discourage you. And whatever you do, if the enemy comes and says, well, God, you missed it. Say, oh, no, I didn't, devil, or you wouldn't be here telling me I did. He's trying to discourage you and make you believe you did. You didn't. You didn't. So anytime that negative little voice comes to you, say, thank you. Now I know that I'm all right, because you just gave yourself up. Amen. So everybody that has this spoiled brat syndrome, I want you to give it to God right now. Tell him he can have it. Adrienne, honey, would you put on some music? And then all right, so when you give up that spoiled brat syndrome, in other words, you want what you want when you want it. Oh, is that what I just did? No. Just give that to God right now. You always talk yourself into a hole, you know. But anyhow. And then anybody in here that has not been able to enter into that perfect peace. This is really what God wants to do tonight. He wants you to come up, and he's going to place you in that place of perfect peace.